for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, November 27th, 1982. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Stan Johnson is the teacher of the afternoon.
There's no place in Scripture to where anybody came to the Lord desiring something from Him that they didn't get it. No place did Jesus say, oh, I want you to go suffer with that for me. You just keep your leprosy and glorify me through your sickness. See, there's not one case of God ever saying that to anybody that came to Him. But He said many times, would you be healed? In other words, do you want to be healed? A lot of people think that they're giving God glory. See, they're completely and totally confused about how to glorify God in their body. Do you know how you can glorify God in your body? Have a good old healthy temple for Him. Walk around just praising God and feeling good and full of joy and peace. That's the way to glorify God in your body. Hallelujah. You don't glorify God in your body walking around half dead. Jesus took stripes that I might be healed. You know, well, He heals those. You know, every once in a while He'll heal somebody. That's not glorifying God. So we're going to come to the realization that we can be healed, body, soul, and spirit. We can be whole. See, that Greek word, sozo, is, you know, Jesus says in Mark's gospel, He says, go and preach this gospel to all nations. He who believes and is baptized should be saved. He's not talking about being born again there. That's part of what He's talking about. But He's talking about being born again, being healthy, being protected, having a sound mind, having all your needs met, walking in prosperity. He's talking about total salvation. Do you know that your healing part of your salvation came before your sins being forgiven? You know, He took stripes before He took your sins on His body. See, that part of your salvation came even before your sins coming into the Lord. He took stripes. He gave you your healing from sickness first. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We talked yesterday. Well, let's pray first. Praise God. Lord, I just thank You that You're going to just give us revelation. Lord, as we go along, Lord, we want to see Your Word. We want to see it and hear it. And Lord, we want it to be a part of us. And Lord, let us even be able to go out and demonstrate these things that we see today to others. Lord, teach us how to use Your Word in its simplicity. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. And Satan, I bind your forces right now set up against these people's minds, set up against them receiving what God has for them. I bind these plans and schemes that you have even now to make these people sleepy and restless and tired and even that want to carry people out of this service before the ministry starts. I bind all these forces and these powers set up. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ using the authority that He gave us. Jesus said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. So we're going there for Satan, and we're here to set God's people free. And I remind you, evil spirits, and Satan, I remind you that the Word of God says that you are subject to us. That means that you are supposed to obey us, just like a babysitter is the children, that you leave a babysitter in charge of them, and they're subject to that babysitter while you're gone. So is Satan and his demons subject to us. It's Christ in us. It's His authority in us. It's His Word in us. So you evil spirits, as we command you to leave God's people, you're going to leave. You're going to turn them loose. You're going to turn these people loose. And you're going to loose their mind right now to where they can receive what God's got for them. You're going to release their eyes that they might see and their ears that they might hear what God is going to say to them. You evil spirits will not go to any of our relatives or any of our possessions, any of our earthly things. You'll not get in those either. You'll walk through dry places like the Word of God says. In Jesus' name, we declare this so. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, yesterday we made a man. Wasn't that interesting? You know, if we'd been there when God set it all up on a workbench one day and He said, let us make man, we would have gotten to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit make a man. Wouldn't that have been interesting? My picture of that would be like the Lord would take some material, some dust of the earth, and He would put it up on maybe a workbench, and He would, of course, he'd have in His mind of what He was going to end up with, you know, but He starts to form and shape and get man designed about the way He wanted him, and He did do him man in His image, and then God just breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. Hallelujah. So there's old Adam, full of light. God was full of light. God breathed His life into Adam, and they just had fellowship one with another. And we talked about old Lucifer coming along, old Satan. If I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to do it believing that He's my shield, and He's my fortress, and He's my defense, and He's my high tower. And I'll just give you an experience of how I know that He's got a shield up in front of me. I was ministering. I was, you know, when you come down from the top, so-called in the world, you know, as far as the business world, God has to get you humble a little bit. So I went from making about 50-some thousand a year, back when 50,000 meant something, that's going back a number of years, it didn't take long to where I was out there driving a fuel oil truck as I was studying, and God was teaching me, and I was delivering oil and living in about an $80 a month apartment. And just like I was out in some desert somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Welcome.
And God knows how to sort of strip you.
Amen.
God knows how to strip you, people.
He's an expert.
He is good at it. Hallelujah. But after He strips you, He redresses you.
Amen.
He gives you His nature. He puts something inside of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He gets rid of that old self and that old person. And He puts good things in you. But I was driving a fuel truck, and I was trying to get everybody born again and healed and everything. As I was delivering my oil, I was quite known among the oil routes, you know. And so this family in this neighborhood that I was delivering oil, they recognized me out in the yard. So this lady comes out and says, would you come inside and pray for my husband? Said, he's very sick, and I know you're a man of God. Well, I said, let me make this delivery, and I'll come in there and pray. So I went in there, and he said, oh, I'm so sick. I'm just drying out from alcoholism and just gotten out of the hospital, and I am just so sick. Help me. If there's any way you can help me, help me. And I said, well, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? And he said, yes, I did, but I backslid. And I said, that's the first thing you need to do is to ask Him to help you. And just turn your life over to Him and let Him come into your life and refresh you and get rid of this bondage that Satan has bound you with. And so he agreed to repent. So I made a little altar out of the piano stool. And here I am in my uniform, my oil uniform, and I just put my hand on his head. And he was facing the piano bench there, and I was going to lead him in the sinner's prayer. And his wife was sitting over here in a chair, rocking chair, sort of watching everything. Big smile on her face. And so I got him to start renouncing the bondages of Satan and claiming the blood of Jesus that would wash his sins away. And all of a sudden, he reaches out from his position there, and he grabs hold of my leg, just like this. And he starts to wind my pant leg up. And, you know, I didn't know much about deliverance then. And I said, goodness, that's strange. Here he's supposed to be repenting, and he's trying to tear my pants off my leg. And I said, you stop doing that in the name of Jesus. Now, that just came to me just like that, what to say.
That's amazing.
And he stopped doing it, but he held on. And the thought came, tell him to turn it loose. So I said, you turn my pants loose in the name of Jesus. Well, he turned them loose. And his wife at that moment says, don't hurt that Mr. Johnson. He's a good man. And I said, the 91st Psalm, he can't hurt me because God is my shield. I will say of the Lord. See, you got to say it in Psalm 91. I will say of the Lord, God is my shield. And when I said that, guess what I felt? I felt something come around me. I spoke my shield. My shield came.
Create a word. Amen.
And all of a sudden, this man, not in malice, but he reached out. He sensed something between he and I. He sensed it. And he reached out like he was going to see how far he could get toward my leg again. And he got about a foot away, and he stopped, just like he ran into a window. And he looked at his hand like that, and then he did it again, and he got the same distance. He did that about three or four times, and he finally said to his wife, he said, I can't even touch his leg. Boy, you talking about some boldness. When I knew that I had a shield put there between him and me, where I could get it, that stuff in him, but that stuff couldn't get at me, I got very bold. And needless to say, that man got free in a very short period of time. Now, I have experienced that shield in Psalm 91 in that fortress, and now I know how 1,000 could fall over here and 10,000 could fall over there and it wouldn't come nigh me. I know I have experienced that. I have experienced that. It's real. Hallelujah. It's real. Praise God, it's real. So you believe that you can cast out devils and do all these things and nothing can hurt you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. All right, so I'm going to show you what we sort of did yesterday. We made a man. We've already got him made, so we'll just leave him the way he is. But here's the man that, the body. We are, in Scripture, in Thessalonians, we are body, soul, and spirit. Let's look at that real quick. For those that don't know that and hadn't ever seen it, let's just show you that you're three parts real quick. Libby, I hadn't been able to tell you, but that was just tremendous teaching this morning. I'm going to tell you something, people. That's the meat of God's Word. That was milk and meat. And if you listen to teaching like that, it'll take you somewhere. It'll take you somewhere. It will take you somewhere. Jesus says, if you have me, you have the Father. He who has the Son has the Father. What measure of the Son do you have? You know what? I think it's almost a direct proportional type thing. How much of Jesus, or the Word of God, you have that much of the Father. You get more of Jesus, the Word of God, established in you, and you've got more of the Father in you. Jesus says, I am the way to the Father. I'm the way to the Father. Hallelujah. That's wonderful teaching. My goodness, God's giving you some good things there to teach. All right, in 1 Thessalonians 5, let's look at verse 22. God says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Not only abstain from evil, but even the very appearance of evil, and God will do something for you. Here's what he says he'll do. And the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. Do you want to be wholly sanctified or partially sanctified? Okay? The choice is up to you. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit... Do you know that we have a whole spirit? We have a whole spirit. Do you want your whole spirit sanctified? God says to cleanse your spirit from all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and all that stuff. Cleanse your spirit. All right, so your whole spirit and your whole soul. Do you know that you've got a whole soul? Do you want it sanctified and cleansed in its entirety? When you have that cleansed, you know what? Your soul has been restored. The psalmist says, he restoreth my soul. You might say, he has cleansed my soul. And Peter said, that there was a salvation that was going to be revealed in the last day, even the salvation of your soul. You know, that's the part of you that feels real happy and real good. Hallelujah. It is. It is. Hallelujah. It's the part of you that feels real downcast, too. David sort of encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged his soul, wanted to talk to his soul, said, "Soul, why are you so downcast? Why don't you praise the Lord?" So, how'd you like to have your soul restored to where if they just hit you on one cheek or the other cheek, you still had your peace and your fruit didn't fall off when they slapped your tree? Your fruit remained. Your fruit remained, people. Hallelujah. You know your fruit can remain. Woo. You know what God says you can do when it remains? You can ask Him anything and He'll do it. Anything. Hallelujah. Okay. And body. Oh, my goodness. You mean He's going to sanctify my whole body too? My body? All that filthiness of the flesh? All those things in my flesh, including sickness and disease, including infirmities, including weaknesses, including lusts, including sins. Do you know sins are in your body? Do you know that it says in the Word of God that the sins of your youth are hiding in your bones? Do you know God says that if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption? So because we have sown to our flesh, we have corruption in our bones, in our flesh, and it manifests sometimes as a young age, but in your older age, it manifests maybe through sickness, disease, terrible torments and problems and so forth and so on. But God said He's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. I've got a little garden out front there in my place in Loris, South Carolina, and I tried to raise watermelons out there. When the Lord sent me down to South Carolina, I heard that was a good area for watermelons, so I planted me a bunch. After a while, I decided I had way too much garden because I couldn't hoe all the watermelons to keep the weeds out. And the Lord taught me an awful lot about how you got to keep your life, things plucked up out of there, or they'll sort of overtake you. But I decided to plant most of it in grass. But I'd already planted watermelons. And a lot of the watermelons, the seeds, fell in the ground and all. So next year I said, I'm just going to mow that next year. My goodness, I'm not going to put up with all that mess out there hoeing and trying to plow it, not owning a tractor and all that stuff. But guess what came up in my grass? Watermelon. Now I'm going out there trying to pull my watermelons up. See? So whatever you plant, people, you're going to reap. That's God's law. That's God's law. Be preserved blameless. In other words, clean. Your flesh clean. Your spirit clean. Your soul clean. Hallelujah. You know God can do that. He says if you'll abstain from the appearance of evil, He'll do those things. So it's our choice how we end up, isn't it? All right, so we got three parts, and this represents right here the body. That's the jar, okay? This part down inside there, and I'm not going to take it out. That's a little jar with a lid on it. That represents your spirit. There is a spirit man inside of you that's dead. Jesus told a man to follow Him one day. He says, well, let me go bury my dead father first. He says, you let dead people bury the dead, and you come follow me. So he was talking about a man that had a dead spirit in him. And you have a dead spirit if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come inside of you and to give you life. God will put His life inside of your spirit just like He did Adam. If you'll ask Him to come in and forgive your sins and to cleanse you. You've got to humble yourself to do that. Don't let pride and tradition, all these things ever block you from doing what God's Word says you must do. All right, so He saves your spirit. See your spirit sealed sitting down inside of you? And that little spirit man down in there, he just wants to grow. He's just a little baby. He wants to grow. So that's why we've got to force this old fleshly man to go to Bible studies, because see, the spirit's inside. If the old fleshly man, if we let him rule us, he's going to get to sleep Sunday morning, and the spiritual man's going to suffer. Have to stay a little old baby and suck a binky most of his life. Can't you just picture looking around here and seeing a bunch of baby bottles and y'all just sucking on a baby bottle now? Wouldn't that look funny? And a bunch of binkies in your mouth? That's what the church is like. They only go on Sunday morning and they just get pacified a little bit. Preacher sticks the pacifier in their mouth. Just enough to satisfy them. Just enough to give them a little religion. And praise God. And so as a result of that, we're not mature. And the body of Christ is not maturing and growing up. See? So praise God. He's bringing forth the whole counsel of God. And those that want to be holy, sanctified, body, soul, and spirit, are going to start going out where they can hear the word of God that will bring their deliverance. Praise God. That's why y'all are here. And he said to read that to the holy brethren, right down below where I stopped reading there. He said, y'all are the holy brethren. I just read you what God said to read you. All right, so now we got the word of God inside of your jar. You took the lid off. So you've got to take your lid off to get something from God. You keep it on, he won't put it in there. So you went to Bible study and said, Lily, give me some seed. I want some seed in me. See? So you, Art's been putting it in us and so forth. Just coming along. You're getting seed in there, and the seed grows and produces fruit. This right here is the nature of God, the fruit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, God is love. Joy, God is joy. Peace, God is peace. Faith, God is faith. God is all of those things that you see in that jar right there. That's fruit. That's his nature. When you get God's nature, you've got God on your hands. I mean in his fullness. Hallelujah. Praise his name. All right, so here's the fruit. There's a gift or two floating around in there. You see the gift of prophecy and gift of interpretation of tongues in there? See? God put gifts in there too, won't he? And God says, be filled with my spirit. That's one of the commands that God gives you. He even told him at Jerusalem, don't you go out and witness. You go wait in Jerusalem till I go back to be with my Father. And when I go back, I'm going to send another comforter to you. The Spirit of truth. He says, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses. And right up here, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So you can't witness effectively except by the Spirit of God. You can't really have power in your life to get out and do the works of God without the Spirit of God. So that's why you need to humble yourself, take your lid off and say, God, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And I see in the Word where you say in Luke, whosoever shall ask the Father for the Holy Ghost shall receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, anybody that asks for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will receive him. So take your lid off and ask God to give you the Holy Spirit. Here's what happens. He puts the Holy Spirit in you. Now, God says you're not filled. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit there. You're not filled with God's Spirit. You know how you get filled? Get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you'll feel like you're filled up. You'll feel good. But how can you go on to be filled? Jesus says, my word is spirit, and my word is life. Do you want to be filled with God's Spirit? Keep getting under Lily's teaching and Art's teaching. They're putting spirit in you. My word, Jesus says, is spirit. My word is spirit. My word is spirit. And my word is life. Do you know what y'all are getting ministered to you up here? Life. God's putting life in you. These words are a force that get inside of you. Look at it in 1 John. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And I'm going to add my interpretation to it. And the Word will always be God. The Word of God will always be God. It'll never change. The Word of God is old. It's not just a few hundred years old. That's always been around. That's the oldest thing around, the Word. We've got something that's old. You're talking about something that's old. In the beginning was this. Good gracious, when was that? That's a long time back. Whew. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Now, he's talking about the Word. From here on out, he's talking about the Word. All things were made by him. You could just translate the Word. And without him, or the Word, was not anything made that was made. In him, he's talking about the Word, in the Word was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, the Word, the light, that all men through the Word might believe. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. He was not that light or that Word, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe every kid has a chance. If he dies before a certain point, I don't know where that is, but God lights every man. Gives a little bit of light to them. Gives them all a little light. Every man that comes into the world, God gives a little light to. And I don't understand all that, but I believe if these little heathen children that don't know Christ die at an early age, I believe they go to heaven. God gives them some light. He gives mercy. God gives mercy. But there comes a time when you better make a decision. And I'll tell you this, knowing the Lord the way I'm beginning to understand Him, He can reveal Christ through visions and dreams, through many different ways to give people a chance to receive His Son. His best choice is to get a disciple there to preach the gospel, the good news. But God in His mercy, I'm going to tell you something. He can do it on your deathbed. God forbid you ever wait that long. But He can give you a dream or a vision. I've seen people die, non-believers, I've heard of them, that accepted Christ on in that coma and came up off that bed, God giving them another chance. They praise Jesus, hallelujah. He was a believer when he woke up. So I know God is able to do things without us understanding it all. All right, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, the Word, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now here it is. But as many as received him, the Word, you're receiving something. As many as received the Word become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. To them gave He power. To them gave He power. There was my word. You want more power? Keep receiving the anointed Word of God. It'll give you more power. It'll give you more light. It'll give you more life. It'll give you more help. It'll give you so many things. You keep getting the Word of God inside of you. Okay, so now... You know, every time you're getting a little bit of the Word of God, you're putting more spirit in here. So eventually, you could say that you were spirit-filled. You know, God talks about Peter looking at somebody, Ananias, I believe, filled with the Spirit. Oh, he was filled up. I'm going to tell you, when somebody like that looks at you, guess who's looking out his eyeballs at you?
That's right.
I don't receive that from you. I'll have to think on that. You ain't got time to see if that witnesses to your spirit. If you're confronting God inside of a human being and He says, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you something. You got something on your hands. When these men and women of God get filled with God's Spirit, you got God on your hands. Hallelujah. It'll bring the fear of the Lord to you too, won't it? And that's what this Word today hopefully is going to do. So here's a beautiful Christian. Goodness. I'm putting a lid on him. You know, that's your will. That lid right there is your will. Did you know that you can will to walk out of this place with all these treasures? See, I put some money in there yesterday, too. There's a lot of money. If some of you women would give me your diamonds and jewelry, I'd just put those in there, too. But can you picture that just full of diamonds and jewelry and all precious things? That's what God's putting on the inside of you. God talks about you being full of earthen treasure. Treasure in you. Do you know that God's putting something in you? He talks about putting a building in you, building a building without man's hands. So that's what's going on inside. And God says to possess your vessel is a vessel unto honor. He says, To not let your vessel touch any unclean thing. You know, isn't that pretty? Would you want to get some bad prints on that thing. He says, don't touch anything that's unclean. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God says, if your eyes offend you, pluck them out. It would be a lot better for you to enter into life with one eye than more literally to let hell get inside of you and take away that treasure and that wealth. He says the same thing about your right hand and about your foot. So you're supposed to protect this thing. This, the Bible says, is eternal in the heavens. God says this is eternal in the heavens. That's what God says. And this is the inside of you. That's what she's been teaching, that the kingdom of heaven is inside of you. It's inside of you. That's where God says it was. Hallelujah. So with that background, and let's just picture now the fruit here, love and joy and peace, just in manifestation. And you go around, everywhere you go, you're affecting people. People just see such love through you and such joy through you and such peace through you. You're just affecting people everywhere you go. Hallelujah, they say. You don't have to do a lot of preaching. They'll probably ask you a whole lot of questions. What kind of drugs are you on? What are you drinking? I was accused of drinking after I received the Holy Ghost. I was. And that wasn't anything strange to the person that said it because they'd seen me drinking before. See, that's the way I used to get my kicks. But I found something a lot better that doesn't leave you a hangover. Doesn't cost you anything. Hallelujah. I peddled with a little fruit stand there in Loris when the Lord's not using me somewhere, and I piddle around with a little produce, and I'm close to the place they call the bottom in Lawrence. It's a place where, boy, I'm really, it's a rough place. All the winos and the addictions and the adulterers and all that mess, the drug scene, they walk right by my little fruit stand. So I'm sitting out there, you know, and some of these people walking by go in there, you can tell them. I said, hey, you want some free wine? Boy, their ears will perk up. And see, they probably think I'm selling it, see? Bootlegging it. See, a lot of bootleggers. I'm right beside a liquor store. And boy, these bootleggers come in there and open that trunk up and they throw a case or two of whiskey in there and off they go. And so here somebody's offering something free to them, probably wanting a free sample, see, or something like that. And some of them will just look at you hard and walk off, and some will come over there in curiosity. And, well, what kind of wine you got? Well, it's the best thing you've ever tasted. Oh, it's tremendous. And I'll give you all you want. Well, let me see it. I want some. Well, let me tell you something. About 12 years ago, I was doing what you were doing to get my kicks. I was going out buying something that really cost me. But I found out through my brother that I could be filled up with another kind of wine. And it was the new wine. And Jesus Christ says it's free to everybody that would come and drink of that new wine. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit arrests a lot of people that will come over there. And I get to minister to a lot of people. I'm going to tell you, that's a ministry. Some days I sell about $20-some dollars worth of fruit because a lot of these people won't come in and buy it because, you know, of my ministry. But it's a pulpit. I have a pulpit right there in my fruit stand. I believe Paul preached from his tent making. I believe he'd be making tents and sharing the word with anybody that would listen. The word of God says that wisdom cries out in the streets. Hallelujah. So, praise God. We can keep our lid on or we can take it off. So, that's up to us. Adam had that choice. Eve had that choice. They did. So, with that background, he's not too happy about that kind of a vessel walking around the earth. And he walks about the earth seeking whom he may devour. The Word of God doesn't say he can't devour you. He's looking for those that he can. He's looking for a lid off. He's looking for a lid off. See? He's looking for a lid off. Let's just put him right there wanting to get in. Now, you can't even see him. I'm going to show you how you can see him in Scripture here as we teach on this, but I told you today I was going to teach you how Satan was going to try to destroy this, take it away from you. in the last days, he's going to try to take this wealth out of you by adultery and fornication. And you could teach that. Glenn was talking about all the different areas that I could go to the Old Testament and teach. But I want to get enough of God's Word in you today to where you will depart from adultery and fornication and therefore be safe, keeping your wealth safe and within. Now, fornication or adultery is fornication, okay? But fornication goes a lot further than just adultery. Fornication is not only sex out of marriage. You know, not being married and having sex with somebody. That's fornication. But also, fornication can come from a Greek word, porneia, which is pornographic. So if you're a person involved in pornographic things like movies and dirty books and things like that, you're in fornication. That's a form of it. Okay? If you are fooling around in the occult, you're in idolatry, putting another god before God. And so, therefore, you're in a form of fornication. If you're involved in drugs, did you know that you're getting involved in fornication? So fornication is a big, vast realm. It's not just having sex with somebody. That's not it. That's not all of it. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at some things here that God's Word says. And let's check out, praise the Lord, let's check out some scriptures here and see, step by step, if you get into fornication, God's going to show you in His Word, step by step, how Satan will steal out the contents of your house and how he will kill you. I'm going to show it to you step by step. Now, if I told you to do certain steps and come up here today that I was going to kill you, how many of those steps would you take toward me? That's right. So by the fear of the Lord, men do what? They depart from evil. I'm going to tell you something. God says that fornication and adultery is evil. And you best listen to what God says because it is evil and it will give Satan an opportunity to destroy you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's start off. Now, we saw in Scripture, how many are here today that weren't here yesterday? Okay, I'm just going to give you a couple of Scriptures. We won't teach it, but go real quick to 2 Corinthians 5:1. Do you know what they used to do to people in the Old Testament when they would catch them in adultery? Good gracious, you mean to say somebody just having sex with somebody on the side? Out of your marriage, they would stone you to death? My goodness, that's pretty severe, isn't it? Well, why would they take that upon themselves to do that? Why would they kill people? Do you know what? Huh? The law said so. Do you know why God had to kill through the armies? He told them to kill men and women, boys and girls, kill all the animals. Do you know why? They were so defiled. The lands were defiled. Devils and demons and mess had so infiltrated mankind in some of these areas that God, to sort of start all over, God would have to just have them kill all the containers that carried the evil spirits and then hopefully just start all over. And I couldn't understand why they'd have to kill all the animals. God would tell them not to spare any of them. But, you know, they were even having sex with animals back then. And they were, that's coming about today, too. In, you know, bestiality? Having sex with beasts and so forth. So even as a young person, if you've ever been involved in those things, there was a defilement that came inside of you, but you can be free from them. Aren't you glad they don't have to stone you to death today? Aren't you glad that there's another way to get this mess out of you except just exterminating the human being? Hallelujah. There is. There's a better way today. God's made it available. And praise the Lord. There was a lot of incest going on back in those days. You know, having sex within your family and all this stuff. And we're not going to get into all those different things, but read about it in the law back there in Deuteronomy and so forth in the Old Testament. Read all these things that people got involved in the results of those sins. Now, do you think God has changed His mind about certain things? If God did not like adultery back 2,000 years ago, do you think that He's changed His mind? He'll go along with it today?
No.
He won't. God never changes. He says, "I'm the Lord, and I change not." So, we've got problems in our society, and as a result of seeing things on television and hearing people talking about affairs and all these things, we've come to believe, oh, it's not that bad. You know, God, it's okay. You know, you commit adultery, just confess it, you know, and it'll be okay. Well, I'm just going to show you how that is not okay and how it pronounces a death sentence on you and how Satan executes it and carries it out. Praise the Lord. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians 5:1, we'll look there real quick. For those new ones here, and I want you to see this because this has got to get in your spirit. You got to protect your wealth. God talks about other people taking your reward, your wealth. That's inside of you. And these other people are devil or evil spirits. That's who they are. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, he's saying if you take the flesh off of your life, you've got something under it, and that's what it is. Things that God has put inside of you through the Lord Jesus. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. All right, so let's see how he gets your lid off. See, Satan's got to get your lid off. He wants to get your lid off. So let's sort of look at some ways he can get your lid off. Do you know he doesn't appear like this? That would scare people if he appeared like that. But here's what he does. He happens to be working through people. See? Well, let's just make it a little bit more realistic. I don't even like to do this, but it's a good illustration. Because I want you to realize how he appears to you. I want you to realize how he comes to you. Now, if any visitors come in, y'all sort of tell them that it's line upon line and precept upon precept. Have you worked here at this store long? I'm just a traveling salesman. I'm visiting in town, and you're a very attractive woman. Are you married? Are you happily married? Does your husband ever travel? Is he ever out of town?
Uh-huh.
He's talking. That's him.
That's
him. That's him. God says, beware of flattery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see? Beautiful woman. Beautiful man, handsome man, good-looking woman, cute little girl, all-American boy. God says don't be unequally yoked together with non-believers. I'm going to tell you something. He's walking around this earth seeking whom he may devour. He's walking around this earth seeking whom he may devour. Boy, I love your hairdo. Can I see your eyes up close? They're so pretty. Oh, my goodness. See? Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. That's him. That's the devil walking this earth. Hallelujah, it is. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got him out of me. Hallelujah. He used to use me, people. I used to play professional baseball for 10 years. He walked this earth inside of me for a number of years. He used me to destroy people. He can use you to destroy people. If he's got a hole in an area of your life to where you're promiscuous and you're doing things you know you ought not to do, you're letting Satan use you to destroy people. Praise God. Okay, so let's see how he destroys you. Let's just look at the Word of God. All right, let's go to Proverbs 6:33. Now, I'm going to sort of illustrate this about committing sin. You see your container here? God says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's a little sin. What does God say to do about your sin? God says to confess your sin. God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you. And to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that you can get cleansed? Isn't that nice that you can get cleansed? Hallelujah. Look at that. Pretty again, isn't it? Hallelujah. Cleaned up. When you commit a sin, people, you go ahead and confess it and forsake it, and you'll be blessed. Don't commit a sin and live in your sins and keep wallowing in the dirt and in the mire because you're destroying yourself, really, is what you're doing. When you can commit a sin, run to God instead of from God and say, God, I'm sorry, I blew it again. He says, justify, just like you'd never sinned. That's what God says. Let's go to another scripture before we hit this one. 1 Corinthians 6, and let's pick one up there. 1 Corinthians 6, the 18th verse. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? You mean to tell me, God, that if I join myself to a harlot, that I'm one body with her? That it's just like we're one container? Picture this all being one container. It's what the Word of God says. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. That means just to get away quickly from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So I'm just going to illustrate that. I'm going to take this lid off. Because that's a different ball of wax than the others. Okay? All right, how about taking that off for me? Praise the Lord. See, I had ministering spirits sent to minister for me. Hallelujah. So you take your lid off. Now, let's just see what God says is going to happen if you take your lid off to that sin. Now, let's just see what a thus saith the Lord is. He says over here, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let's look at that one. And let's see what God says he'll do. See, God says he'll do something in certain places in Scripture. Let's see what God says he'll do. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, you just picture a dwelling place for God. God is as holy and pure and righteous as he can be. You see how pretty and spotless this building is right here? It's pretty. Isn't it nice to come meet in here? Clean, got a new ceiling on it, good lights, the walls, look at all the good furnishings and all. God says, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man, and I'm going to say or woman, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Let's say that. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Say that. Which temple ye are. You mean God will kill me? He won't stone you, no. Stoning would probably be a better way to go. Now, y'all follow me now. I'm hoping the fear of the Lord will come on you. Now, there's a way out of your sins, okay? Aren't you glad there's a way out? Hallelujah. They brought a woman to Jesus one day. They said, we called her in the very act, and the law says to kill her, stone her. What do you say? And I think the word of knowledge began to work, and he started writing their sins down, those looking over his shoulder in the sand, and one by one they went away. And finally he said, woman, where are your accusers? There are none, Lord. He says, neither do I accuse you. But he said something else. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. So there's a way out. God's showing you now the seriousness of it, and he's going to show you to hide the Word of God inside of you that He's letting you see with your eyes, and then you're going to stop doing it. Do you believe that you can go and sin no more in that area? You better believe you can. You can go and sin no more in that area. Because there's deliverance can deliver you from those things that are pulling you into that sin. There's things in your flesh that are bringing you into that sin, and you can get those things out of you. That's why God's given us the deliverance through Jesus, what Jesus provided for us. That's just part of your salvation. Hallelujah. So let's just see how God destroys us. You know, Satan, in a way, is an agent of God. He executes things. You know, he does some dirty work. Do you know that? So here's how he destroys you. And you take your lid off. Oh, boy. Now, how'd he get your lid off? Everybody else is doing it. Oh, don't you see all that stuff on television? It's the going thing. All sin is in these days. Hadn't you heard? You're a lonely woman. My goodness, you've been a widow 3 years. Oh, there are not any virgins that are even 18 years old anymore. Have you seen those statistics on television? Everybody else is into that thing. It's okay. It's okay. You know what your psychiatrist will say? And you know who's sitting in their pocket when they're saying this? What you need to do is get a release in your emotions. Go out and get you something, a little affair going on the side. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for you. See? Satan walks about seeking whom he may devour. And he's in psychiatrist's office. God says, don't seek counsel from the ungodly. You go to people that will give you godly counsel. There are godly pediatricians. I just talked to one, our brother here. Oh, he's precious. I laughed and laughed about him in his first or second deliverance that he was explaining to me. Boy, get him to share that with you. But there are Christian psychiatrists today that will not only point out your problem, but cast the problem out of you. There are ministers of the gospel that will tell you how to get marriages restored by getting these old things out of you that want to keep you separated and divided. They'll give you the counsel of God. They'll tell you what thus saith the Lord says. See, we're not entitled to think what we want to think about solving our problems. We've got to see what God has already said will work and do that. I tried to make a cake one day. I watched my mother make a coconut cake, and I loved it. Boy, she'd put some of this in there, and she'd put some of that in there, and she'd grate that coconut, and she'd put a little flour in there, a little salt, and she'd just do this, you know, and come out with a beautiful 2 or 3 layer coconut cake. And I said, boy, I'm going to make me one of those. I'm going to make me one of those. So I bought my own coconut. I told her I didn't want any of her help. I got out in that kitchen, and I remembered how she cracked that thing. She cracked it like it with a hammer. Got those humps there, and she started getting that stuff out and grating it, you know. And oh, boy, I just had me more fun. I ate a lot of my coconut and drank some of the juice and just having me a ball. And so I put a little bit of this in there, and I put a little bit of that in there. I put a whole lot of this in there. And I put quite a bit of this in there, and guess what? I put that thing in the oven, and before God is my witness, I could not hardly bite into that cake. I was going to feed it to my family, my mother and daddy, and my brothers and sisters. You know, they knew what I was doing, and boy, I was so embarrassed. They wanted to know where the cake was. People, God has the ingredients right there to solve your problems. If you've got marriage problems, there's the answer. If you've got financial problems, there's the answer. If you've got sick problems, there's the answer. There's not one thing God has left out of the book. It's full of wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that part we don't have, we can go to our brother down there in Arkansas. We can go to our brother over here. We can go here. We can go there. God says, just open your ears that wisdom cries out in the streets. The problem is we don't listen to wisdom. So because we don't listen to wisdom, to get rid of some of your stress, the psychiatrist told you to get out and have an affair with somebody. So he came in there. Now, oh my goodness, what in the world is going to happen now? Well, let's go over here to Proverbs 6:32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Proverbs 6:32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He doesn't understand. He doesn't have any understanding. He's not smart. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. We destroy our own soul by taking our lid off. So you come in contact with that harlot or that strange man, and here's what happens. Look, that's the area of your soul down in there, isn't it? Isn't that your emotions down in there? Isn't that where the fruit of the Holy Ghost is down in there? Now look what happens. My goodness, look at that. Oh, my goodness. He doesn't have any understanding. He doesn't have any understanding. Oh, he feels a little guilty about it. Feels a little guilty about it. Goes back the next night. Well, I'll get my life straightened out one of these days. You see this, your beautiful spirit down there? All right, we'll just hurry it up. We'll just take a whole weekend of sin, okay? People, that's the Word of God. You're seeing it right there. That's the way the Holy Spirit showed it to me. Now, guess what comes in? There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This person has been walking after the flesh, and immediately, instead of walking around touching everybody's life, not wanting to get around the brethren, wanting to sort of seclude themselves, no victory, terrible problems start. Now, with that background, let's just go ahead and share here God's Word. Look at Proverbs 6:20. He says, "My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee." He's talking about the Word of God. "When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Now, God said all that to say this, to keep thee from the evil woman or evil man. You think you're evil men too? Okay. "From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman or man." That's the way we used to try to get girls' attention. "Oh, you're so cute. You're the prettiest thing I've ever seen." Flattery. It's evil. It's evil. You stop doing it. You stop doing that. That's evil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." God is so graphic, he tells you how a woman or a man takes you. See? Isn't that something? That eye, doesn't it do something to you when you're coming along and somebody, some cute girl would give you sort of a good wink?
Wow.
That's something, doesn't it? You better believe it does. Stirs something up in you. Something in you that ought not to be in you gets stirred up. Hallelujah. "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." Have you noticed how long the eyelashes are getting these days? They can really get some attention, can't they? They can reach out there for you. Hallelujah. "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread." Now, I wish I'd gotten a piece of bread back in the kitchen there, but let's just picture this being a piece of bread. Now, this is what you were to start out. God says a whorish woman or man can bring you from that to this.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. It's like going to Bible school at home.